Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Homegrown, native, seasonal, all of those are big buzzwords in the food industry, especially for the grocers and the restaurants who use them as a marketing tool. But why should you care about whether an apple is local, as in picked from a farm up the road, or local as grown in the United States?
One person who believes strongly that real localism makes a big difference is contributor Dave Kozlowski. He and his wife, Sandy Rodens, operate the organic produce farm Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek, a farm that is most definitely local. It's a term, Kozlowski tells Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski, that means something different to everyone.
The Wikipedia definition of local, the one that they go by, is 100 miles. And a lot of folks sort of use that as a standard measure. So if you're buying something within that 100-mile radius, you're saying you're buying something within local. That seems pretty limiting, really, because it depends on where you're located. So I think local is kind of like the definition of beauty. It's sort of what you think is important to buy locally. Some people would bristle at buying even California wine because there's Wisconsin wineries. They're not the same. So people will buy California because it's better than buying a French wine or a Spanish wine. I drink coffee. I love chocolate. At least the raw product of those products aren't going to come from this country within 100 miles or 500 miles or 1,000 miles. It's coming from across the world. So am I going to give up chocolate and coffee because it's not local? Don't bet your life. Not going to do that.
True.
So it really just depends. And I've got a farmer perspective, so I'm really more interested in what a consumer perspective is. So I want to throw that back to you. I mean, what's your definition of local?
I would consider the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
To be local. I mean, ideally, it's within the surrounding counties, but we're in Milwaukee. There has to be distance to get out to these farms or these creameries or anything like that. So generally, if it's like, oh, made in Wisconsin product, I would consider that benefiting the local market.
And I think that's a good definition because you've got a lot to choose from in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin's a leader in so many ways, organic and conventional, that yeah, why not? That's
yeah, so let's go into that. You know, what is Wisconsin's role in organic farming, dairy, meat, and produce? Does it stand above most other states within the U.S.?
It does. It does. In fact, it is like the number one in dairy. That's really quite a credit to the state, given California's size. And California would be number two. We're number three in the number of acres in organic production. We're number five in sales of organic products. We're number one in eggs and meat, and we're number one in produce for the organic products. Yeah. So Wisconsin is really quite a leader in this area.
And that's not something we often hear about.
No, we don't, and we should be trumping it up. And when you look at the farmer statistics on who wants to get into organic by how much land that they want to transition over into the National Organic Program, that's increasing in Wisconsin. It's not staying the same even. It's increasing. So we're looking to produce more and more organic products out of Wisconsin. So for those people who consider the state of Wisconsin as the local area of their interest, increasingly you're going to have more to choose from, both organically and conventionally.
Right. Yeah. And with all of this resources within the state of organic, especially more grocery stores, say Aldi's, Sendix, even restaurants, Culver's Cousin, you know, they tout selling local, or Aldi is starting to do more and more organic produce, organic sections. But there is a power of advertising behind that, kind of similar to how something's labeled fat-free and healthy, but really that just hides more unhealthful practices within it. So how can we as consumers fact-check this, and what is local, with where places are getting their source?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no, like, yuck sticker that we can put on things that says, you know, this is local or this is not local. Largely because what we originally started talking about is the definition is so fluid. So how can you fact check these things? Well, we do know that given surveys of the Grocery Manufacturers or Grocery Something Association, I forget what the name is, that shoppers at grocery stores want more and more local organic products. They like it because it helps the economy, they believe. They like it because they think it offers a broader assortment. It's healthier, helps the environment, all these kinds of things. Question is, given where these products are laid out in a grocery store, how do you know which is local, which is organic, which is not? Some stores separate them. I didn't know this. I don't do the grocery shopping. My wife does. But Woodman's separates out organic products from non-organic, and they label the local stuff. You go to the Outpost, for instance, they will label the stuff and sometimes even the farm that they got it from for some of their products. So those are good ways of indicating. One way, not in the grocery stores, in the restaurants, would be to ask the wait staff. If it's a restaurant that's run honestly, with integrity, they will educate their wait staff as to who their suppliers are. If they're stumbling, if they don't know, go to the kitchen, ask the chef, ask somebody. You know, if you're really concerned about this, go online. There's probably Yelp reviews or something about restaurants that are buying more local and touting it. So it's there's no easy way, I guess, is the short answer. The consumer, it's caveat emptor, right? Mm-hmm. Because the consumer has to do a little bit of research on this. You either have to talk to the produce manager at the grocery store or to the wait staff or the owner of the restaurant. You're going to have to find this out. But I think it's important to take that extra step, because by doing that, you're expressing your interest. And by expressing your interest, you're going to raise the interest of the owner of that grocery store or restaurant, and they're going to pursue more organic local products.
So do you think we need a working definition across the U.S., either set by the FDA or something, to secure and regulate this practice so that there is more transparency? Or do you think that kind of falls into the micromanagement of farms across the country?
Yeah, I think it kind of does, because it's going to be really hard. You know, who's sitting on that board? If it's a bunch of folks from California, oh, heck, fire. They'll say 50 miles because they can pretty much get anything they want in California. You know, if it's somebody in upstate Maine, it's going to be a different definition. So I just think it's, as I said before, it's just too fluid of a kind of thing. It's a beauty thing, and you're just going to have to decide for yourselves. And I actually think that works fine. You know, that's really the heart and soul of a free market system, right? People are going to decide for themselves what they think is local, rather than, not that I'm anti-government, but not that, you know, the government needs to micromanage that definition.
Right. And with people deciding what's important to them, how can farmers or stores, anything that is selling local products, how do they make people care about it if it's not on their radar already?
That's a good question. Well, I can only say of the folks that we know, particularly in the restaurant side, that they will advertise it. How else could they market it? I don't know. I wish they would market it more. You know, I know a couple of restaurants where, and I'm not mentioning the name, because it happens to be a friend of mine, but the restaurant has got pictures of all the farms they deal with. I think that's a really neat way to personalize the fact that they're buying local food, not just from a warehouse, not just from Reinhardt, Sysco, or another distributor, but from an actual farmer. And they're proud enough of it that they actually have their picture, or in some cases, the names of the farms in the restaurant. Grocery stores, I think Outpost does a wonderful job of that. I think the more they can point out that this comes from an individual farm, that's an individual farmer that's got a face on it, that I think that works better for them and for the consumer. I think they say know your farmer, know your food. I think that's true. Once you can know your farmer, I think that gives you a greater sense of security, integrity about the food, greater knowledge about where it's coming from, just a greater sense of worth to the food that you're feeding.
Well, we've touched upon how if you go to a farmer's market and you buy something there, you're more inclined to actually make a meal with that, mm-hmm. you know, versus letting it go bad in the fridge or wherever else. But in addition to a farmer's market, what are some ways in which communities can access, quote, local foods?
Besides the grocery stores mm-hmm. and the restaurants and the farmer's markets, a lot of farms have programs called CSA programs. And CSA is an abbreviation. It stands for Community Supported Agriculture. I'm always surprised, since our farm itself has been doing this for 24 years, I'm always surprised that there are people out there that still don't know about it or heard about it.
Right. According to localharvest.org, there's only about 23 CSAs serving Milwaukee and the surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm. That's about right. Yeah.
I was surprised to find that.
Yeah. You go to the Madison area and there's probably about 50. So twice as many, probably half the size of the population. So, yeah, it's not quite as well known in the greater Milwaukee area, southeastern Wisconsin. It's a program that farms offer where the community, members of the community, can actually become members to a farm. And one of the perks of being a member of a farm is that the farmer will produce a certain amount of produce for you every week. The traditional form of the CSA is one where they pack a box for you, and then they deliver that box of vegetables to a convenient drop site. Now, like everything else, these programs have been around for 25, 30 years. They're starting to morph into different shapes and forms. Now there are farms that will offer you a choice. You can dial in on their webpage and you can select the items you want for your box. Other farmers will bring a slew of things to a certain site. You can come and pick what you want from that rather than have a box made. So it's changing forms, but in essence, it's the same thing. In essence, it's the community getting to know where their food is growing, feeling a sense of security in knowing how it's grown. You're connecting with a farm. A lot of farms that have CSA programs are near the metropolitan areas because that's where our markets are. So you're saving that farmland, you're preserving that farmland, and you're having access to a way of life that a lot of folks in the city aren't familiar with anymore. It's no longer surprising to me to find families come to our farm where kids don't realize that the carrots grow underground, that beans come on a plant that look like a flower, basically, or a shrub. And that's a little surprising to us farmers, but it shouldn't be, I guess, because we are generations removed from being farmers ourselves. And the other nice thing about CSA programs is it puts more of the money of your food dollar directly in the pocket of the producer. It was a while ago, 1900 to be exact, when farmers were making about 40 cents on every dollar that people were spending on food. And now it's something less than 7 cents a dollar. Most of the money you spend on food goes to shipping, packaging, warehousing, storing, whatever. When you buy direct from the farmer, whether it's a farmer's market or through a CSA program, then you're putting your food dollars that you were going to spend wherever directly into the pockets of the producer of that food.
And to play a consumer devil's advocate, is it about the same economically to invest in a CSA versus going to Pick and Save and getting the same thing?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. I could say this, because this is based on a USDA study. It's a USDA-funded study done by the Iowa State University. What they did was they took a basket of goods that were locally produced by the farmers there in Iowa and a basket bought from the grocery store. And in every case, in every community they went to, they found that the locally produced produce was cheaper than the grocery store produce, say. And I'd have to say that's probably about right with the CSA programs as well. We don't do it all the time. We don't do it as much as we used to. And I'm sure we're not the only farm that does this. But we look at what we're delivering and we compare it to what the grocery store prices are. And we're usually in the ballpark with that. So is it more expensive? Over the long haul, no. What makes CSAs a little bit tricky, and if there's a con to this business, this is it. The money generally is paid up front. So you are taking a bit of a risk with the farmer on the season. So if it's going to be a really bad season, and although you had planned to deliver tomatoes, in 8 of your boxes, it was a bad season, you only delivered 4, you took a little bit of a loss on that. But every year is different. There's always good things and always bad things in every year. And by doing that also, you're helping the farmer by not having the farmer go to a bank. Because most farms have to go to a bank to pull an operating loan. Your CSA program can be at least partially an operating loan for the farm because you're getting the money up front in the beginning of the year.
Now, what about wintertime? Things aren't growing necessarily. A lot are in storage. CSA programs generally don't deliver in the winter. So what's a good way for people to keep sustaining a local food practice?
Well, two things. Go to the winter market. Folks have gone to Milwaukee, has a really nice winter market at the Domes. It's in a greenhouse behind the Domes. There are several produce vendors, meat vendors, cheese vendors there. There's bread. All of it is local, at least using a definition of Wisconsin is local. And that goes on until the outdoor season begins around here in April and May and June. So there's access to that. Now, you have to think of eating seasonally. You're not going to be able to go to the winter market and find strawberries. We don't grow strawberries here in Wisconsin in the wintertime. So you're going to be challenged to eat seasonally. And I think that's a good thing because that increases the variety of foods that you're going to eat. The second thing you can do, and this is putting the onus back on the consumer, is to preserve some of your summer produce. Do a little canning, do a little freezing, do a little dehydrating. Then you'll have those foods available for you in the wintertime when they're not being grown outdoors.
What would you say as a call to action for anyone who's listening who, you know, we've perhaps piqued their interest in changing some of their consumer practices? What would you say to them to start making changes and be a more conscious consumer with the local market?
Oh, just get in there, you know, take those first few steps. If you're not used to buying local organic product, just go out and explore what it looks like. Go to the farmer's market, go to a restaurant and talk to the chefs about where this came from, and then maybe you can source your own from some of those farmers. We have an opportunity coming up at the Urban Ecology Center on March 10th. It's the local farm open house, and there is going to be, of those 23 farmers that you mentioned serving the greater southeastern Wisconsin area, probably a dozen and a half of them are going to be at this event. And it's free. It's open to the public. We typically have 1,000 or so people come through, and the farmers that produce the food for southeastern Wisconsin will be there. And you can talk to them about their CSA programs. You can talk to them on where they're at, if they might be attending farmers markets or what restaurants they deliver to or what grocery stores they deliver to. They can tell you about how the product is growing, what to do with it. The open house also has classes going on that will tell you how to work with local seasonal food, give you recipes, some cooking demonstrations. So it's a good opportunity. That is a good opportunity to take a first step to get to know the people who grow your food. You're putting a face on your food, and that's always helpful.
Well, and it keeps a little bit of that conscious within the food. It's more than something that you bought at the store.
It does. It's more than just a commodity then.
Exactly.
And if it's more than a commodity, then perhaps you actually are going to cook it, and you are going to eat it. And I can guarantee that it's going to be fresher and more delicious.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Contributor Dave Kozlowski owns and operates Pine Hole Gardens in Oak Creek.